using our time wisely. And I can almost add on to that a different part, using our time wisely by living the Jesus way. And you'll see that towards the end of the sermon. Our psalm this morning is Psalm 90:12, and it says, simply, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, if we number our days, wisdom may not be the first thing that comes to our mind. For many of us, we may feel that time is standing still, and we wish that it would speed up. There's others that may have a moment or a lot of panic. They may feel that time needs to slow down. I don't have enough time to get all the things I need to do to get done. And so we could commiserate with Dr. Seuss, who said, "How did it get so late so soon? It is night before it is afternoon. December is here before it's June. My goodness, how the time has flown. How did it get late so soon?" Has anybody heard that before? It's kind of a very, yeah. More soberly, if we count our days, we may discover and agree with the wisdom of a man who had once said at a commencement speech at Stanford University in 2005, and he said these words. And first, when I watched the speech, it deeply impacted me. And he said this. He said, "Remembering that you are going to die is the best way I know how to avoid the trap of thinking that I have something to lose. You are already naked. There is no reason not to follow your heart." When I thought of that, I thought of Job, who said, you know, "Naked I come into the world, naked I leave." But the man who said that was actually Steve Jobs in 2005. It was a powerful commencement speech. Now back to this psalm. Out of all the psalms, this was the only one, I believe, that was attributed to Moses. And he had likely penned it during the events that you read about in Numbers 20. You can read that when you get home or sometime this week. But it was a hard psalm. Why? Because his sister, Miriam, had just died. Next, the people were grumbling because they're out in a desert and basically they had no water to drink. They were complaining to Moses. They weren't trusting God. And they said, "We're better off like the people back in Egypt, our ancestors who died, but at least they had something to eat and drink." So Moses cried out to God, and God said, "Okay, Moses, Aaron, I want you to speak to the rock, and water will come forth." And we know there's miracles all through the Old Testament where God was providing for the people. But Moses, he had a bad day, and he got a little angry. So instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock twice. That kind of harmed sort of God. It harmed the holiness of God because Moses and Aaron, they did what they wanted. They got angry, and I probably would have got angry too. But through that, God wouldn't let Moses and Aaron enter the promised land. Aaron died later that day, and Moses can only see the promised land from a distance. So I wondered, after he had God say that to him, that you will not be able to go into the promised land. Now Moses is starting to number his own days. He's realizing his time is short. And it's as if Moses was saying, if only these people knew that tomorrow or that today was their last day, maybe they would actually start to be wise. Maybe they would accept that you do want to forgive them. That you do want to pour your love into them and your compassion on them so they can show it to other people. They could show it to those people who really desperately need it. And Moses knew that when they did, and you could read this in verse 14, that they would then shout for joy and be happy the rest of their days. So here I am speaking about this. And I know by tomorrow, actually, no, I can scratch that. By the time you go home today, actually, can probably scratch that. By the time you leave this service, you're probably going to forget what I'm saying. It's going to be forgotten. I think, I I forget what I said last week. I forget what my last message is. And it'll be shelved to the next sermon. You see, most of us often can't even remember what was preached about last week, what Pastor Pete preached about. I can't remember what I last preached about. Often, because we leave here, we're busy with what we need to do this coming week. Our thoughts kind of overwhelm us, our emotions overwhelm us, our actions, and there's just the next thing to do. So even though we may not remember, often we're not applying it also to our lives. I think it's true also for great preachers on TV, those podcasts we love to listen to. Often we will listen to some messages again and again because we can. But often we don't remember them because we do move on to the next thing. And that's often why the gospel needs to be preached again and again and again. It's why we do need to be continually reminded. We have human limitations. We're living in these bodies and we have the passage of time. So the only way to get a heart of wisdom is to know the frailty and the shortness of human life. And it is only then that we can truly live. As I was preparing for this message, I got curious, and so I had to Google it. But I wondered, how many days do we have from zero, when we're born, till we reach about 80, which is about sort of the medium age in Canada? Well, this is kind of what it spit out. We have 2,515,968,000 seconds. We have 41,932,800 minutes. We have 698,880 hours. And we have 29,120 days, and we have 4,160 weeks to our life. Seems like a lot of time. But I went at Heritage Community Christian School this week, and on Thursday they had a seniors' dinner. And so as I'm always in the kitchen grabbing my coffee and grabbing my tea, honey, trying to drink less coffee these days, and they're having a seniors' dinner. And I asked, well, what age do you have to be to kind of join this dinner? And they said, 55 or 50. I'm 46. I'm 4 years away. And I can go to the seniors' dinner. This is crazy. What's going on? It's true that this world is moving at an exponential pace of change. And, you know, it can leave many of us feeling frantic. If there was ever a time to actually teach people to number their days, especially those consumed by greed and envy, it is now. It is now. So teach us to number our days, O Lord, so that we can gain a heart of wisdom, so we know what is right and good in your eyes. So, you're going to forget this message. I'm going to forget this message. And that's okay. But there is some lessons that we can learn and that we can teach others as followers of Jesus as we number our days. And some of these lessons, they come through a palliative care nurse named Bonnie Ware. Bonnie Ware was a palliative care nurse in Australia, and she wrote a blog. And it was about the regrets that many people feel at the end of their life. And it was so noticed that she actually put it into a book called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. And it was interesting that in there was no mention that somebody wished that they did more bungee jumping, or that they had more sex, or that they had more adventures. Those things weren't mentioned at that stage of their life. When questioned about any regrets that they had, anything that they would do differently, the same themes emerged again and again. And so here are some of the top 5 regrets of the dying. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. This came from every male patient that she was nursing. They missed their children's youth and their partner's companionship. Many women also spoke of this regret, but not near as often, because many of her patients were from a time when the woman was at home, wasn't the breadwinner. And so she was at home all the time anyway. But they still mentioned it. But all the men that she was working with wished that they hadn't spent so much time on the treadmill of a work existence. And as I'm going to go through these things, we're going to pray actually through them as well, okay? So as I read this one, let's just bow our heads and we're just going to give a little prayer. Heavenly Father, it is good to work hard. It is good to be loyal. There are seasons of working more, and we know that. There are times when we need to plant our crops. There are times when we need to work hard to get that essay done, to get that test done. We know there are seasons. But Lord, help us to see that there needs to be a balance and a perspective too. Help us to work, not to build our toys and our bank account, but to have enough wisdom to see family, faith, and relationships with others above all else. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you struggle in this area, it's best to read the book of Ecclesiastes. That'll give you a perspective on the meaning of work. The second thing, I wish that I had the courage to express my feelings. Many people suppressed their feelings in order to keep peace with others. I find often I fall into that camp. And as a result, they fall into mediocrity. And they never really become who they're truly meant and capable of becoming. In fact, many actually develop illnesses relating to bitterness and resentment that they carried as a result. Now we know that many people will quote that passage in Ephesians 4 where it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. If you need to express your feelings and you need to do it now, well, oftentimes, no, you do need a good night's sleep. Oftentimes, you do need to think before you speak. That's very important. But it is important to deal with it and express your feelings in a healthy way. So let us pray. Teach us, Lord, to number our days so that we can forgive and let go and express our feelings in healthy ways. Teach us, Lord, to be more assertive and to be more loving. In Jesus' name, amen. Number three, I wish that I had stayed in touch with my friends. Often these people didn't fully realize the true benefits of old friends until their dying days, but that was at a point when they actually couldn't connect or contact their friends anymore. Many had become so consumed in their own lives that they had let golden friendships slip by. There were many deep regrets about not giving deep friendships the time and effort that they deserved. Everyone misses their friends when they're dying. Proverbs 27:17 states, as iron sharpens iron, so friends sharpen another. And I'll add, good friends sharpen another. Friends hold each other accountable. Friends help each other to grow spiritually, emotionally, and morally. Let us pray. Lord, teach us to see the importance of not having to be friends with everyone, but to cultivate deep and lasting friendships with others. For you have put good friends into our lives for a reason, and you have created us to be in relationship. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Next, I wish that I had been let myself be happier. This is a surprisingly common one, she said. Many didn't realize this until the end, that happiness is actually a choice. It's a choice. And often they had stayed stuck in their old patterns and habits. The so-called comfort of familiarity overflowed into their emotions as well as their physical lives. Fear of change had them pretending to others and to themselves that they were content And yet deep within, they actually long to laugh properly and to be silly and to laugh at the mistakes that they made. Now let us pray. Teach us, O Lord, to number our days so that we can be content and find happiness and joy in the little things, the chirping of the birds, the growth as spring arrives, of a new adventure with our family and friends and with others. Help us, Lord, to laugh at ourselves and to not take life so seriously, because we know that we have a better and a more lasting one waiting for us, where we won't ever have to number our days. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. The last one. I wish that I had the courage to live a life true to myself and the life others expected of me. This was the most common regret of all. When people realize that their life is almost over and they look back clearly, it's easy to see how many dreams have gone unfulfilled. Most people had not honored even half their dreams and had to die knowing that it was due to the choices that they made or not made. You see, health brings a freedom very few realize until they no longer have it. So be committed. Be committed to not do something only because someone else wants you to do it, but because your interests and desires and your talents and your current circumstances intersect with enhancing who God has uniquely made you to be. And as Jesus shows you the way, God will always motivate us towards being a positive influence on others and to help others to be more whole individuals. Individuals who are, as the cadet theme verse states, are rooted and grounded in His love. And at this time, I want to play a song, and it's called Jesus, The Jesus Way by Phil Wickham. I'm sure many of you have heard it, and I've been playing that song over and over. It's deeply impacting me, and I know it's deeply impacted other people. And it really gives the message that when we number our days, this is what is most important. So please, just listen to the song, and then we'll end off with the final part of the message.
If you curse me, then I will bless you. If you hurt me, I will forgive. And if you hate me, then I will love you. I choose the Jesus way. If you're helpless, I will defend you. And if you're burdened, I'll share the weight. And if you're hopeless, then let me show you there's hope in the Jesus way.
to stand to sing a song that we really don't know yet. But it's powerful. It's powerful because only through the good news of Jesus Christ can humanity surrender and see their sin. But at the same time, see that Jesus, as the song says, wore their sin for the sake of love. Only in Jesus can we see that we are forgiven and then choose to forgive. Only in Jesus can we experience grace and then be able to show grace to other people. Only in Jesus can we worship no matter what we face. And because he wore our sin and our shame, we can gladly wear his name because he is the answer. So we choose the Jesus way. And it is this kind of Jesus way that will cause others who don't see a way out of their vices and their selfishness. And they will see us and they will come and ask, how do you live such contented lives? How do you have such peace? How do you not take life so seriously? Why does there seem to be such favor and blessing upon your family, even though you're dealing with hard times? How are you content with what you have and you spend time going out serving other people when you could be making more money? That is when we can say, I have learned to see that this earth is not my home. I have chosen to number my days, and I'm going to make the most of every moment. I choose the Jesus way. Let's call our worship team forward and let us pray. Teach us, O Lord, to number our days so that we can follow the wisdom of living the Jesus way, who gave his life for us, so that we can be empowered to go and to be your hands and your feet within this church, within the cadet program, whether it's CCS, whether it's working on the fire department, whether it's serving within this Athens community, which desperately needs volunteers. And as we do, we can be your hands and feet within this community, within our nation, and within the world. We give all this up to you. The Jesus way. Amen.